Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Data Matix Global Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Jagtap from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashaswi. Good afternoon to all participants in the call today. Welcome to the Q4 and full year FY 2024 earnings call of Data Matix Global Services Limited. The results and presentation have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on the website of Data Matix. In case anyone has not received a copy of this release and presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to send you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Sandeep Mantri, EVP and Chief Financial Officer, and Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be then followed by Sandeep talking on financials, and then we will open the floor for Q&A session. I would like to remind you that anything that's said on this call which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you can find on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Rahul, sir. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Prateek. A very warm welcome, and thank you everyone for joining our Q4 FY 2024 call today. We are glad to have you all on this call with us. I will briefly discuss some of the key quarterly and full year highlights, while Sandeep will provide an update on the financials, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. We are happy to end the Q4 FY 2024 on a healthy note. Our revenue increased by 11.8% and EBIT increased by 27.8% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. For the financial year 2024, we witnessed a revenue growth of 6.2% over FY 2023 and were able to maintain double digits EBITDA margins at 15.7%. We added 10 new customers during the Q4 of FY 2024. Our digital experiences margin has taken a hit during the year. However, we have eliminated the loss-making projects. Therefore, we will see an improvement in margins through the course of the next financial year. Our digital technologies margin should also improve for multiple reasons. One, we have installed a new leadership team and implemented several cost control measures. Two, we are putting a greater focus on hyperscalers. Three, we are foreseeing a growth in revenues from our intelligent automation products. Last quarter, I had updated to you that Data Matix featured in the Forbes Asia's 200 Best Under a Billion company. I am happy to share that we are now part of Dun & Bradstreet's list of top 500 value creators. It is a recognition for the value we have created for all our stakeholders, as well as our outstanding corporate performance over the years. I am happy to share that we have recommended a total dividend of rupees 5 per share, that is 100% of the face value of a 5 rupee each for the year ended March 2024. As we step into financial year 2025, we will continue to focus on the Western markets, strengthen capabilities along hyperscalers, and penetrate deeper into existing accounts. In line with this, we recently acquired Dextara Digital, a platinum-level provider of Salesforce services. Dextara acquisition aligns with our growth strategy of focusing on hyperscalers and the U.S. market. Dextara brings an extremely capable management team and a broad clientele across industries that is of specific interest to us. 25% of Data Matix customers use Salesforce as a platform, and with Dextara's strong credentials, we will be able to service our customers better and look forward to helping them go deep in Salesforce. For financial year 2025, we remain bullish on the opportunities that artificial intelligence presents to us. We have stepped up our investments in AI and are working closely with Microsoft and Google. We have built our own customizable small language models and co-pilots, and we will be showcasing these capabilities at various industry events in the coming year. We have also built an AI framework for our digital experiences business. Through the financial year, we have executed 10 projects in AI. Furthermore, we have incorporated Gen AI in our intelligent automation suite of products and have rolled it out to over 30 customers. On a separate note, we have strengthened our management team and inducted several senior members into the organization. We will continue to augment the team through the course of the next year. We see the Western world slowing down on their technology and outsourcing spend due to the uncertain macroeconomic environment. However, we expect a growth of 7-8% while maintaining the current margins for the next financial year. I take this opportunity to thank all our stakeholders, including employees, customers, and shareholders, for being an integral part of our journey. With that, I will now hand over a call to our CFO, Mr. Sandeep Mantri. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us in Q4 FY24 earnings call. Let me start with the financial performance for the Q4 FY24, and then I'll take you through the full year 2024 numbers as well. Our Q4 FY24 revenue stood at 412.7 crores, which is a growth of 11.8% on a sequential basis and a marginal drop of 0.9% on a YOY basis. Our EBITDA for this quarter was at 64.7 crores, which is up by 22.8% on a sequential basis. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter was up at 15.7% as compared to 14.3% in the last quarter. Our EBIT for the quarter was at 55.9 CR, which is up 27.8% on a sequential basis. EBIT margin was at 13% as compared to 11.8% last quarter. Other income stood at rupees 15.9 crore, grew by 49.7% sequentially, primarily due to investment income and sale of Nashik property. PAT after NCI was at 52.5 crore, which is up by 27.2% on a sequential basis and down by 12% on a YOY basis. Our EPS for the quarter was at rupees 8.9 per share, which was higher than last quarter, which was at 7.01, but lower than last year same quarter, which was at 10.13 per share. Talking about segment-wise revenue performance, our digital operations revenue was at 202.4 crores, which is a growth of 26.2% on a sequential basis and 8.1% on a YOY basis. Digital operations EBIT margin was at 23.5%, and its contribution to total revenue was 49%. Our digital experience revenue was at 61.8 crore, which is a growth of 7.4% on sequential basis and 3.8% on YOI basis. Its contribution to total revenue was 15%. EBIT margin for digital experience business was at 11.8%. Our digital technologies revenue was at 148.5 crores, declined 1.9% on a sequential basis and 12.4% on a YOY basis. EBIT margin is 0.7%. The contribution of digital technology to total revenue was 36%. Talking about FY24 financials, our revenue was at 1549.9 crore, which is a growth of 6.2% on a YOY basis. EBITDA was at 244 crores and EBITDA margin was at 15.7%. Our EBIT was at 207.7 crores and margin was at 13.4%. Our other income was at 45.1 crore as compared to 38.7 crore last year. Tax rate for FY24 was at 21.4% compared to 23.9% in previous year. So there is a improvement in tax rate. Our PBT was at 250.8 crore as compared to 243.4 crore in last year. PAT after NCI was at 198.2 crores compared to 188.2 6.9 crore in last year. For the full financial year, full year, if we see segment, our digital operation revenue was at 694.4 crores, which is 10.1% up from previous year. Digital operation EBIT margin remains healthy at 19.9%. Our digital experience revenue was at 244 crores, which is 11.2% growth over previous year. And digital experience EBIT margin remains at 17.1% on a full year basis. Our digital technology revenue was at 611.5 crores, which is slight up 0.4%. EBIT margin for technology business was at 4.6%. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet. As on March 31st, 2004, our total cash and investment, we have a zero debt, stood at 653 crores. Post this, we have paid approximately 110 crores towards Dectar acquisition. Our DSO was at 67 days as of March 24, which is the same as in March 23. In terms of geographical footprint, US remains our largest geo with 54% of our business coming from US market, followed by UK and Europe at 13%, and the rest of the world, including India, at 33%. In terms of industry footprint, technology and consulting was the largest segment for us, which constituted 27% of our revenue, followed by BFSI, which stood at 25%, then education and publishing, which is 12%, and then manufacturing, infra and logistics, which is also at 12%. Non-profit or non-government organization were at 11%, retail at 9% of our business. Other segment constituted about 4% of our total revenue. In terms of client concentration, it remains very healthy, with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 23%, 35% and 51% respectively. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for questions. Thank you for your patience and continued interest in Datamatics. Operator, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Grishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to the management team and thank you for giving me an opportunity to ask a question. Sir, curious to know why in quarter four the digital technology division has seen such a sharp drop in margin?
Yeah, so primarily as I mentioned in my address that we have invested very heavily on the AI space. So that is an important element. We built our own small language models. We built co-pilots. We built frameworks for our digital experiences. So that's really consumed a fair amount of monies. And therefore, you see the margins drop. As you know, we don't capitalize any of the IP development that we are doing. So that's the primary reason.
And you also mentioned that some of the low-margin clients you have done away with.
That is in the digital experiences space.
That is in the digital experiences.
Yes.
Okay. Is that the reason that our collections have improved this year compared to last year?
Our current collections are steady, 67 days last year as well as this year. So it remains steady. Of course, quarter by quarter, there's some degree of fluctuation, but by and large, it's steady.
Okay. And Dectara will be incorporated or included in a number from quarter one?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. How much more money will there be there in the payout? 110 crores already given.
Yeah. So the balance payout is based on certain performance parameters. So it depends on them hitting certain targets but it could range somewhere around 60-70 crores depending on performance.
Okay, okay. And we also have done some small acquisition of 23% remaining in a JV. What is that?
So we had a small joint venture which was focused on Salesforce. But after we acquired Dexterra, we felt we did not need another entity also focusing on Salesforce. So we acquired that and we will roll this piece of business into the Dexterra business.
Okay. So was that like a very big...
No, it was a very small joint venture because we wanted to start the Salesforce business, so we formed a JV and that started doing business. But since we acquired Dexterra, we did not want to have two different entities doing the same Salesforce business. So we acquired that 23%. It's now 100% subsidiary of Datamatix, and we'll merge the business with Dexterra.
Okay. And sir, 70% growth guidance is with Dexterra or without Dexterra?
It is inclusive of Dexterra. So organic growth, I would expect approximately 4% is, and about 4% will come from Dexterra.
What is it that you are picking up from the environment where, because we are just growing 3-4% organic?
Yeah, so right now we do see a slowdown in the world and in terms of outsourcing and in terms of technology spend. And if you see many of the companies, they're looking at a very slow single-digit kind of growth numbers. So, yeah, so we are seeing that slowdown and we expect that we will grow organic about 4% and Dexterra would contribute about 4%, which is inorganic, so totaling to about 8% top-line growth.
But Dexterra will also continue to grow because it's on a smaller base and it's a faster growing company.
That is correct. That is correct. But we've just acquired them. They've presented the plans. So if they hit the plan, we should exceed it. But, you know, that needs to be seen because it's only been a month and a half since we acquired them.
Okay. And next year, the tax rate would be?
Tax rate would be more or less same, Grishma, which will be between 20-22%, like, you know, last year.
Okay, fine. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Nikhil Puktani from SMC Family Office. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my first question is on the pipeline. Like in the quarter three con call, you said that we had a pipeline of 245 million.
Yeah.
So what is the pipeline right now?
So the pipeline is slowing down and right now it stands at about 200 million and we can see that slowdown happening. And that's why we've been also sort of a little soft on our projections for growth next year.
Okay, so, but we have increased our spending on marketing and sales, right? So how is that playing out?
We are increasing our spend on sales, not so much on marketing. We had done that, and we are seeing an uptake on the product business. We are seeing an uptake in the AI space. We see a very strong pipeline also on the digital experiences space. However, the technology space, the pipeline is a little soft.
Okay, sir. And my question is on the ASP front. Like, there is a lot of rebuilding happening in the United States.
Yes.
So, sir, how are we targeting that? Are we eligible for those big orders or something like that? Do we have some kind of criteria?
Yeah, so there are three segments in the U.S. So, one segment is the road transport. One is the rail transport. These all use fare collection. So, our fare collection solution will go for all of them. So, one is the road transport, one is the train transport, and the third is the metro. So we're not targeting the trains, we're targeting the metros and the roads. And road means buses and things like that. And in the metros, there are multiple segments. So the top ones, like you have Chicago or New York City, those deals are very large. There are $500 million plus deals. We will not qualify for those deals. Then the multitude of deals that are between $10 to $40 million. Datamatix qualifies for those deals very well. And there's a third segment which is sub $10 million. So we would qualify that for that anyway. But we are looking at those, you know, 10 to 30 million, $40 million deals. That's the segment that we are targeting. So we've got a decent pipeline there. And as far as India is concerned, we have bid for Pune Metro. And we are currently evaluating Mumbai Metro Line 4, 5, 6 and 9. So, yeah, so as we bid for these, Pune Metro has already been bid for, the others we are sort of evaluating. So as we bid for these, the pipeline will certainly become much stronger.
Okay, sir. And so my question is now on digital technology, like the margins are shrinking. And so you said that you changed a little in your management in the digital tech side.
Yes.
So, sir, can you elaborate more on that? And can you elaborate more on this AI developments that you have done, like co-piloting small LLM models.
Yeah.
So can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah. So on the management front, we made an announcement, Bala Gopalakrishna, who is now the president of the digital technology business. And we've churned, and under him, we've hired two or three more senior people. And we've also churned some of the other erstwhile management team members of Datamatic. So there's been some churn in the leadership in that space. We've also hired a global sales head in the US, Dinesh Kumar, and he's on board, so we should see that. And then, of course, finally, through the acquisition of Dextara, we have with us now Srikant Lapala, who comes from a very strong background where he has managed over 25,000 people on a global base with the Virtuosa. So he's handled very large projects and strong capabilities. So we have him as part of the management team as well. So that's as far as the turn in management is concerned. What was the other question?
So it was just about
the artificial intelligence investments, yes. So we've built these small language models. These small language models have been built on top of large language models because that gives you a much more precise and accurate answer and response to what's been happening. We've also been able to integrate Microsoft, OpenAI, and Google, Gemini. And then underlying this, we built our own BERT models, BERT that is. So the BERT models have been built, the small language models have been built, and we've integrated with OpenAI as well as Gemini. So, and then we built a lot of copilots. Copilots are two types. One is the Microsoft Copilot, which we have incorporated that into the legacy systems. Plus, we built our own co-pilots because not everybody has Microsoft Teams or Microsoft as a platform. So we built our own co-pilots that could interact with legacy applications and help our customers. So we've spent a fair amount of time and effort in building these solutions. This year, we will be taking them to the market, showing them to our customers and showcasing them in the events that we participate as well.
So right now, you said that you're doing 30 customers. Access to 30 customers. So how was the response that there?
So response has been fairly decent. They are still dirtying their hands So they started using it. We piloted it. So we rolled it out. This is part of our TrueBot and TrueCap products. And we've incorporated it, rolled it out to these 30 customers. We are right now collecting feedback. So far the feedback has been very positive. They're very happy with the way it's working. But once they get into full-fledged production, that's when we know what happens. But right now the feedback has been very good. And they've been very happy with the way it's performing.
Yes, sir. So I also have a few questions on KPIs, like what is our headcount in each of the segments, like in digital operations, experience, and technology? And
yes,
sir, what is the offshore mix, and what is the effort mix over there?
So I don't have that breakup of headcount by each of these handy right now. Let me see if we can pick it up, but one second. So our digital operations headcount, this is not the headcount. It's okay, I don't have it right now, but we'll arrange to send it to you separately.
Yeah. Okay, sir. And sir, what will be our blended utilization, like on-site utilization, offsite, offshore utilization and blended?
I would imagine that our utilization is in the range of 90 to 95%. We don't carry a very heavy bench, but as you know, we are investing in building some of these IPs and products. So that's where the utilization rate does not fully fit because you're investing in building IP. and that does not go on the utilization rate. But yeah, you can roughly take between 90% and 95% depending on the business unit that you look at.
So that's a blended or is it on-site?
No, blended across. On-site is almost 100%, 99-98%. So on-site, we don't keep much of a bench. The bench pretty much remains offshore.
Okay, sir. And sir, like, I have a few questions on, like, what is the book-to-bill ratio? What is, like, our bill rate?
Yeah, so bill rate is difficult to give you an overall number because it varies by each business and the model, commercial model that we have with the customer. Some of them are unit-based pricing, some of them are time and material, some of them are fixed price and milestone-based. So it varies, and therefore one can't really have an overall company-level bill rate. For example, when you do the AFC business, these are large milestones that happen once in 5 months, 6 months. If you do T&M, then it's literally monthly. Some of them are volume-based, so depending on number of documents we process, whether it's invoices or bill of lading or what have you, it varies on that. So,
our book-to-bill ratio, sir?
Sorry?
Our book-to-bill ratio? You might have that, book-to-bill ratio.
Book-to-bill ratio, basically what do you mean by that?
So like our orders to our invoices ratio, like something like that.
So, you are saying order book, we don't disclose order book as of now, but mostly our, you know, contracts are in every business unit, there will be different type of contract. So like in volume based, it is always, you know, MSA driven. So you will not have a, you know, crisp clear order book, but you have MSA on which volumes are driven and every bill life. Then you have experience where, you know, it is more T&M or, you know, output-driven pricing. Then you have digital technology where you have T&M plus fixed price. So in technology, you have, you know, projects which are running for 3 to 5 years as well.
Okay, sir. So, sir, I just wanted to know, like, in digital technology, like, our margins are really low this time around. So, sir, what are the levers that are going to play a role in expansion? And, sir, what is the going-ahead strategy in the digital technology space?
Can you repeat the first part of the question again?
Levers of margin.
Levers of margin. Okay, fair enough. So I think there are a couple of things. One is in the AFC business, as we mentioned earlier, that we will pivot to the Western world. And as we focus on those markets, the margins will improve. India is a very price-sensitive market, as we are all aware of. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is really going for the larger deals and existing customers and the hyperscalers, because the hyperscalers command a better premium. So that's the other area that we are focusing on, and the margin should improve. Having said that, I did mention in my address that we have taken some cost control measures and we have tightened our belt. So that will also help impacting the margins as we tighten the belt in some of the digital technology areas. The product revenues, once we see a good pickup in the product revenues, so once that happens, also you see that impact on the margins as well.
And you should start seeing that impact effective this year, FY 24-25.
Okay, sir. And sir, like, what is our strategy to improve the wallet share?
Yeah, so that's really talking about mining and having a deeper engagement with customers. So we have changed the, we are in the process of changing a lot of the sales people's focus to mine existing customers versus hunt new logos. And based on that, we've changed certain policies within the organization and things like that. So we should start seeing an impact of that, hopefully within this financial year.
And sir, like, can you just describe how many Fortune 500 companies are we doing business with?
Yeah.
Fortune 1000, 500, but Fortune 1000 will be about, you know, 80 to 100 such companies will be part of our Fortune 2000 companies.
And sir, can you just give me a number, how many of those will be like $3 million plus account, $1 million plus account?
So we don't disclose those numbers. So, as you know, we are disclosing the customer concentration, wherein you see that top 5 customers are, you know, about 23% of total revenue. Top 10 customers are about 36% of revenue, and top 20 customers. So beyond that, we don't share any information right now.
Yes, sir. So that's it from my side. Thank you, sir. And sir, if I have any further questions, where can I reach you?
You can reach through ENY, Pati for ENY.
Okay.
We will connect with
us.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. We'll take the next question from the line of NGN Puranik from INAM. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. I have a question on
Mr. Puranik, I'm sorry, you're not very clear. Can you use your handset mode, please?
Yes, yeah, I'm on the handset mode only. Just a second. Is it better now?
You can proceed with your question. Yes.
Then proceed. Okay. So I have one question on, see if you can elaborate on Dexter. See, the founders of Dexter is, so we have a large company, sales organization building, delivery organization. So how do you use that experience and their own ability in building SFO, you know, partnership into Datamatics, you know, reorganizing the Datamatics sales organization and focusing on large deals in your organization? So if you can give more color to that, because that's what's important from a long-term perspective. How do you use their ability to construct a more tangible sales force within your company?
Yeah. So there are two or three things happening with Dexara. So one is that they were a relatively small company when we acquired them. Total revenue is about $7 million top line. But the people who come there, they have experience with working with large customers and large projects. So the management team has very strong capabilities. It says that because they were small, they were doing smaller projects. So couple of things happened. One is that with Datamatics, they can themselves bid for larger projects because now they'll be eligible for larger projects. Point number one. Point number two, Datamatics itself had a very good pipeline in Salesforce. So with this team coming in, we would be in a position to convert a lot of that pipeline. Last year and year before, we could not convert many because we didn't have the credentials. But Dexara has the credentials and they have the team who done these large deals. So therefore, they will be able to close several larger deals that we bring to the table. The third is that we have a team that's focused on the relationship with Salesforce. And as we were focusing on the hyperscalers, there is a team in Datamatics that focuses with Microsoft, with Crowdbotics, with OutSystems, with Salesforce. So that team will engage with... So Dexara and our team will work together because we are engaging with Salesforce directly. So the third is that as we bid for some large deals, we will use the expertise and experiences of the Dexara team to be party to that whole program and go along with us in building it. The last element is that we are now conducting a sales enablement program in the U.S. So this entire team will be flying down to the U.S. as well and working with our sales team on how do we target these large deals, how do we, you know, leverage existing relationships to get the $5, $10, $20 million deals.
And their experience is in what vertical in the sales?
So right now as Dextara, they have a deep expertise in Salesforce, but the team that comes has a lot more expertise because in the...
BFSI.
BFSI manufacturing, they've done a lot of work there.
So they'll be able to, have you worked on the probable pieces that you can work with, because these guys will have a large, you know, Fortune 500 company experience working with them. So
yeah.
You are planning some of those.
As I mentioned, we are having a meeting in the, on the 21st of this month, the 24th of this month in the U.S., where we will have all the discussions. Since we acquired them only on 1st of April, the first 1 or 2 months was more settling down, getting the, you know, administrative things in place, HR connect and all of that. But now we will get it plugged into the sales.
And how many from Vertura sales you are getting here?
Their sales team is thin. The sales team is about 3-odd people in the U.S.
3-odd people.
So there were only seven people. But it's not the sales team so as much as the management team. The management team is a very strong team.
The Srikanth and company.
Yeah. Srikanth and one or two people under them. Actually, three or four. Yeah.
And the other thing is about the you talked about the small LM. We are built on that. So can you elaborate on how this was built and how you are going to use it to for every customer? You are going to customize it and do it, and you use it as a productivity tool, or you are going to license it for someone to use it, and do you do a managed services? So how will you do this?
Yeah. So we will. So fundamentally, in a layman's language, large language models are trained on billions of parameters, 500 billion, 1.7 trillion parameters, things like that.
Correct.
So they are general purpose models that can pretty much do everything. Then you have these small language models where they function like experts in a particular area. So when you're an expert in one area, then you go deep into that area. You don't have to be trained on every function and every facet. So these small language models are much lighter. The small language models work as experts, and they're trained on particular data sets for the customer, so they'll have to be customized for customers, and that's where we will build the services revenue of building small language models for our customers, and they tend to be much lighter and lightweight, so therefore the cost is much lower, and the accuracy levels are much higher, as well as the turnaround time and things like that. The infrastructure they use is also much lower. So the cost comes down, the accuracy goes up, and they are customized for each customer, so therefore they tend to work much better. And these can be independent, or they can sit on top of the large language model. So you could even have a combination where it's sitting on top of a large language model and further improving the output of the LLM.
And what chip they will run on?
So the chip doesn't matter to us, because the hardware is not what we are concerned with. We are concerned with the software part of it. So ultimately, at the end, they will use an Intel or an NVIDIA or whatever. But that's not for us to worry about, because that's the hardware configuration.
So the scope for you, the services, what are services revenue expecting from a single client on this?
So single clients can give you anywhere from $500,000 to $2 million just to build these things, depending on what they're looking at. But it's not only about the language model. It's about the entire system that we build around that. Because ultimately, it has to give output. The language model is only an algorithm. Beyond the algorithm, you need the whole solution. Yeah.
Analytics layer also you'll be building for that?
Yes, absolutely.
So you're building the data lake and the analytics layer also?
Yes, you have to.
Good. So when will the launch happen? You have started anchoring some customers.
As I said, we are having a meeting in the U.S. End of this month, 24th of this month. That's when we will have our whole sales team in sync with this, and then we will launch it.
Good. I think your DNA in automation and all that will also help you in this process, so isn't it?
Most certainly. Absolutely.
Good. Thanks, Rahul. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Good, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take a next question from the line of Parvati Rai from Equentis Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Am I audible, Rahul?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So while you did give explanations around the digital technology, so I mean, slightly more in delve, I wanted to understand. So last quarter when we spoke, right, we did mention that the margins were stabilizing. So now we have a subpar of 1%. And then we also kind of alluded at a 7-8% that could be there next year as a guidance, given the automation and the other activities that were undertaken. So my take is the numbers coming at 0.7%. So we would have been aware of the investments that we're already making, right, into GenAI, people. So just wanted some clarity around what are we looking at for next year. Because see, I mean, at 0.7%, when we already say that it was stabilizing, so while these investments might have been ongoing, wouldn't have been only in one quarter. Some clarity around that?
Yeah, so the investments were ongoing, but we stepped up, we fast-tracked a lot of the investments because the space of AI is moving very, very fast, and we needed to make sure that we are in sync with the market. So we did build a lot of these models much faster than we had originally anticipated. So the expense actually increased. So fundamentally, that's what's driving it.
And where are we looking at from a next year perspective?
Looking at what?
From the next year perspective, so I mean, when we guide at, so last year, when last quarter when we spoke, we did mention that a 7 to 8% EBIT margin from this vertical. So now since we have stepped up the investments and for the full year it's come slightly low, so what is the kind of range or outlook that we are kind of anticipating?
Yeah, so Parvati, for next year, as you know, Rahul suggested that we have a new leadership team, new thought leadership. Then we are, you know, seeing a lot of growth in product and automation. Plus, we are focusing a lot more on hyperscaler. So I think for next year, the margin should be certainly, you know, better than the annual margin of this year, which is about 4.6%, I believe. Right? So it will definitely, you know, be far better than what we are.
I think we should get into the higher single digits for sure.
About
the
7-8%.
The other thing that has impacted the margins is we mentioned that we did sort of introduced new leadership team. So by the time the new leadership team came and we had a churn in the erstwhile team, there's an overlap. So we had some degree of an extra cost for certain periods of time because of the overlap.
Okay. Okay. And with respect to the digital operations, I mean, there the margins have come in considerably higher through the last couple of quarters that we were seeing around 16-18 to 23. So your, I mean, what was it that kind of drove this expansion and what are we looking at for next year around?
So what it does happen in Datamatics in particular is the digital operations piece tends to have a spike in quarter four. And some of the expenses of that come in quarter three. So Q3 tends to be a little softer. Q4 always tends to spike. And that is a cyclical business we do have within the operations piece. So, and also this year we are now implementing more and more automation into that space. So I think next year we will certainly, at the worst case, sustain it, but it will probably improve because as we automate some of our processes, it will give us better margins.
Okay, okay. With respect to sustaining at the console level, the margins that you've guided for, so kind of building in the acquisition, Vixtara, so which is at a 16.5% EBIT margin. So I'm just trying to understand, will it be dilutive? I mean, will Vixtara from 16.5 further go down when we have the synergies in the first year, or how would that be?
No, Vixtara.
Some of the other investments that we are making.
So Vixtara will be margin accretive because they are at 16.5%, and we are at 16.5%. So, but because the size is very small, so it will not impact that much. It will be like, you know, 30-40 basis point, you know. That kind of impact will have on margin. But at the same time, we have other businesses also and we have invested in AI. So to some extent, those will be offset. What we are trying to say is basically we will, if not, we will maintain same kind of margin for next year as well, which is about 15.7% or 16% on EBITDA and 13.5% to 14% on EBIT.
Okay, so kind of sustain. That's what in your earlier comment that
you. You know, growing a little bit.
Okay, okay. And the other question would be when we did give the outlook for the top line, with I mean almost a 4% organic growth and the rest coming from the acquisition. So how do we see this between the first half, so Q1 and Q2 to Q3 and Q4? So would Q1 and Q2 be relatively weak given the current macro headwind? And most of this growth would also be on the second half? I mean, primarily from the organic perspective is what I'm asking.
Yeah, so Q1 may be a little bit, you know, flattish type of growth, but Q2 onward, Q2, Q3, Q4 should be seen as a good growth. So we will, on an annual basis, we should achieve about 7 to 8%. But quarter on quarter, it may be one quarter may be soft, another quarter may be strong.
Yeah, Q1 particularly, I don't think there will be a huge uptick.
Yeah.
Because we are already into May.
Okay. Okay. And Rahul, when you were mentioning that now with the acquisition, that overall otherwise also you all are pitching in for the large deal size, which makes you eligible. So could you help me understand the size of these large deals given the space that you're operating in? So, I mean, each company has its own definition when we term it as large deal. So what is this range or the sweet spot that we are kind of understanding here?
Yeah. For Datamatics, I think between $5 million-$30 million. I'm not including AFC particularly because those fundamentally are larger deals, but $5 million-$30 million deals would be large deals.
Okay. Okay. And some color on the key verticals on how you're expecting them, at least in the first half of next year, say BFSI and technology and consulting, given these are the major verticals. I mean, from a growth perspective, or will the environment remain muted?
I think it'll remain muted. I don't see any particular vertical picking up right now.
Okay. Okay. I think that's it from my side for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Nikhil Poktani from SMC Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, my question is on Dixara acquisition. Like, sir, what will be our first focus while integrating the Dixara? Like, would it be cost optimization or we are going to jump to sales?
No, sales. Sales will be the number one.
Growth is the number one priority. I think anyway they are at 16%-17% margin, so cost is not really a concern. The major primary objective of this is how do we grow from here? How do we multiply this?
Yes, sir. So sir, my next question is like our revenue mix by industry. Sir, our technology and consulting revenue increased to 26%, right, sir?
Yes. Yes.
26%. And BFSI went to 25%. So what are we seeing demand in technology and consulting side or BFSI is the strength?
It is more or less same. Like BFSI last year was also at 25%-26% only. So it is not that BFSI. So I think the mix will continue 1% or 2% here or there in these industries. So otherwise, it will not change drastically. Maybe BFSI may become 25%-26% or consulting technology may become 27%-25%, something like that. But overall mix will remain like this only.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Shreya Pawar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Shreya.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, Rahul. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask this question. So while talking, you spoke about the AI project. So I would like to know what kind of work you're doing in the AI space.
So we're doing a couple of things, as I mentioned. One is we built copilots. Copilots are kind of front-end tools that interact with the legacy systems in an organization, and they can interact with multiple legacy systems simultaneously. So you can, for example, just to give you an example, if you are a bank and you have got your own core banking and your other applications, and somebody says, "I want to know what is the history of this person in terms of his loan that he's drawn." So it can query all the legacy systems, look at his account balance, look at his loans he's taken, look at his payment schedule, and give you the answers in simple English. So you're interacting via simple English, and the LLM and the GenAI is working behind to mine all this information and give you the kind of answers you're looking for. So that's one area. The other one is where we are doing application mining, where we are using GenAI to extract business rules from legacy applications, extract business rules, document them, create test cases, and things like that. So that's all on application mining. The other areas is, as I said, talking about these small language models and large language models. So we are processing documents for customers. When you come to travel and logistics, you're talking about bill of lading, you're talking about financial documents like invoices, or you've got your insurance claims documents, all of these. And particularly when you get handwritten notes, now you might know that when you, for example, if you see a handwritten note from a doctor, very few people can read it because the handwritten notes are so bad. So that's where we are using GenAI to accurately pull that information. And that is a huge opportunity because that's right now done manually, and that's very painful. So if you can use GenAI to extract that kind of information, a lot of industries can deploy these solutions. So that's what we've been doing. And then, of course, our whole customer management, where we prompt our engineers or our customer service representatives with the right kinds of questions when he's talking to a customer. So while he's talking live to a customer, it's transcribing, it's extracting information, it's prompting him as to what to say, what not to say, or how to cross-sell while the conversation is going on. So that makes him far more productive than what he has been doing. So this is when you're deploying it for customers where they're doing conversion of sales. You know, you're selling a travel package or you're selling something of that kind. It has improved your performance and productivity. So several fronts, but we've dabbled in all of these areas that I mentioned, and then there are a few more as well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. This was really interesting. So that's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll take a next question from the line of Devam from Adeco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Just wanted to check on what are the annual hikes that have been given for FY25?
So its average is around about 9%. Having said that, it varies depending on performance of the people.
And typically, this will, what you mentioned, that this will be, I mean, the price hikes at the customer end will be through the year. So this will sort of be less absorbed in the first quarter and then gradually get more absorbed through the year, right?
Yeah. Q1, obviously, your margin will shrink because your increments have happened and the customer done that. But then finally, there's some churn in people, there's productivity improvements, things like that, which then sort of normalize the margins.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah. Thank you all for being on the call today. I really appreciated the Q&A that we had, and I look forward to meeting you in the end of next quarter. So thank you once again, and we'll meet again.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. On behalf of Datamatix Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.